Okay, let's quickly go through this lesson. Learning to bear responsibility for financial matters of the local churches. Of course, this whole matter of finance is a huge, huge one. I think sometime we need a conference on finance with the saints. With the saints, not just with the elders. Okay, let's start. Roman 1. Before the Lord, we must learn together how to bear responsibility for the financial matters of the local churches. A. The Bible refers to money as the mammon of unrighteousness. 1. This indicates that money is intrinsically unrighteous. 2. Nevertheless, our wise God does not tell us to completely ignore material riches in matters related to serving Him, but that we need to consider the matter of material riches. B. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus spoke of the unrighteousness associated with material riches. But in the epistles, the Holy Spirit indicates that material things can become a sweet-smelling sacrifice offered to God. Can you believe we can offer unrighteous things to God? And it becomes sweet to Him? It's called, I wouldn't say money, but it's called material riches. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Something dirty, something unrighteous, something I would even say corrupting, can become sweet and acceptable sacrifice to God. My goodness. What a transformation here. So it really depends on the handling of this, whether this is fragrant or if it's something corrupt. It depends on the handling. And brothers, in the elders' position, we have to handle the finances of the church. The finances of the church are handled by the elders, okay? They are the ones who make decisions concerning the finances of the church life. Now you say, well, you tell us not to sign checks. I did. Anyone can sign checks, right? And my point is, don't make check signing the first order of the eldership. That's my point. But just remember this point. The financial responsibility of the church rests with the elders. Okay. And I was saying, definitely not one elder. Okay? It should be the eldership. Okay, one, in Philippians 4:15 through 16, Paul reminded the believers in Philippi that they had sent material supplies to him once and again to meet his needs. Two, Paul received their gifts as a sweet-smelling savor, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He even talked about the heavenly account. I really believe, brothers, there's a lot of untapped material riches in the Bay Area amongst the saints. But because of a lack of view, proper spiritual view, or a lack of a properly built up spiritual habit, or in some cases, maybe some lack of, what should I say, trust in the church or in the brothers. In other words, the leadership and the condition is not so proper that may cause the saints to refrain from giving. And all these are matters we need to address. But the point here is it's so important that we handle the money matter in the church life properly. Okay, see, there are two aspects related to money. First, number one, money belongs to the satanic world and is unrighteous in position and existence. Two, second, the saints can use this unrighteous money for the Lord's interest by supplying the Lord's servants or the work of the gospel, mainly these two things, okay? So that this money becomes a sweet-smelling sacrifice acceptable to God. Yes, we need to buy land. Yes, we need to build meeting halls. But the primary giving of the saints, we must educate them, is not just for that. It's very easy for saints to give to buy a meeting hall because it's tangible. Anything that's tangible, it's easy to give to. You know what you got. But actually, the main giving of the saints should be towards two things. Number one, the support of the Lord's servants, including full-timers, co-workers, full-time elders. And number two, the work of the gospel. And oftentimes you don't see material results right away. You know, you close escrow and you get the keys and you own this building. It doesn't come that way. And so without seeing, and that, even that, brothers, I submit, is a sign that the saints are not enough in the divine and mystical realm. They still mainly look at the physical results. Not that it's not important, meeting halls, but brothers, we need to give for the Lord's growth and spread the Lord's work. Okay, D. Dealing with financial matters truly requires much wisdom. If there's a shortage of wisdom, there will be opportunities for the enemy to damage and defile our service to the Lord. Wisdom. One, we must humble ourselves and learn the lesson before the Lord of bearing not only our own burden, but also the burden of others. Two, such a complete service will bring in the Lord's blessing. In some cases, elders have no training in money matters. I bet they even don't know how to manage their own household finance. They have no accounting training. They have no idea about money. Now, not that we all need to go and take a course in finances, but I'm talking about even common sense. You know, today, the problem with many households in this country is they overspent. They borrowed too much. This is not a country of saving. This is a country of credit. They live on credit. They spend the kids' money. All these very basic fundamental matters come into play when you serve the church and handle money matters. Okay? So, these kind of basic things we need a handle on, and we need certain kind of wisdom from the Lord. And let me say this, this is because those are not your money. Number one, they are the Lord's money. And number two, they are the saints' money. And you and I have no right to misspend it, to misappropriate it, to be easy and sloppy with it. That's not a steward. Stewardship means you need much prudence and wisdom how to handle something that is what? Not yours, but you're given the responsibility over. So, dear saints, just remember, this is not our money. This is the saints. This is the Lord's. So, if we don't have wisdom, we will give ground to the enemy to damage and defile things. You know, money always is a gateway, is an entry point for the devil to come into relationships, to come into the church life, to come into the family life, and so on. Okay. We need to be pure in the matter, and we need to be prudent in the matter. I stress these two things, purity and prudence. And then I would add one more thing, that's faithfulness. Okay, A, we need to pray concerning practical financial matters. They test the extent to which we believe in God. Well, let me go back. You know, to handle the saints' money and the Lord's money in the church require us to totally, utterly remove ourselves from any kind of subjectivity, from any iota of self-interest and personal consideration. You must remove yourself. You must be entirely objective, right? You're like the Treasury, U.S. Treasury. Those are not those people's money. It is that money in the national coffers. It belongs to the people from taxation and etc. So it is actually very, very serious responsibility to take care of the finances of the church. Okay. We also must, of course, exercise faith through prayer when we handle the money, even though this is not our own, but it is under our care and stewardship. Therefore, we need to look to the Lord in how to use it. Okay. In the matter of finances, we must learn a practical lesson. We should not presume at the end of a meeting that we simply have to make an announcement concerning a need because the brothers and sisters in the church will be the source to meet that need. Outwardly, there's nothing seemingly wrong with this, but it must be our intention to learn to look to the Lord. Very important. In matters for which we bear responsibility, whether it is the Lord's work or the practical needs of the church, we must exercise faith before the Lord. So, brothers, the church has only $1,000 left in this small church. And there's some need. There are bills to be paid. Looking at this money, it is inadequate. What do you do? Well, let's just go tell the saints. Let's go make an announcement. Well, you need to do that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if you just do that, that to me means you're not spiritual. You, brothers, should just open the ledger, whatever, you know. Oh, spread this before the Lord and say, Lord, we look to you. Even we're trusting the church, not just my personal life, you know, of course, but the church life to you. Lord, this is your church. This is your need. We look to you, trust in you to meet the need of our church. Then, with that attitude, when you go to the saints, you are proper. You're not just going to ask for money. You have looked to the Lord, who is the true and ultimate source of everything. You see? You don't want to lead the saints just to go and look at their bank account and look at their checkbook. You want to lead the saints to the Lord himself. Saints, let's go to the Lord. Let's pray to the Lord. And the Lord will lead. The Lord will speak. The Lord will touch. Then that giving, that transaction, even financial, has spiritual value. All right. Number three, the Lord as the head is responsible for the church's financial needs. A, we need to see that the Lord as the head bears responsibility for the church's financial needs. The brothers need to learn to have faith in the Lord's provision for the service of the church. There are many testimonies of this. So we need to have faith on behalf of the saints. The saints may have no faith even. Actually, they're even ignorant about what the need is. But you know what the need is. And you have to exercise faith even on their behalf before the Lord. Be as responsible brothers in every locality who are bearing a heavy responsibility to lead the churches onward. We must learn the lesson of not viewing matters from man's perspective, but from God's perspective. See, we should learn to be in his will, seek him and trust in him. He will do a wonderful work without our knowing. You know, sometimes the Lord withhold his material blessing even because of certain disobedience on our part, because we're not right with the Lord, right? You know this personally. Corporately is the same. We might have to go to the Lord. Lord, why is there the lack? This is not right. Why isn't that there not the giving? Is there something we have offended you? If there's something that we are the church is short in, please reveal it to us. Even this kind of corporate dealing with the Lord is right, right? To seek him, to do his will. Okay, Number four, we should learn to exercise wisdom and discernment and to plan for unexpected needs. We should not wait until a need arises to take action. So I know in certain, especially poorer places, in many poor countries, it's hand-to-mouth, and that's just how it is. And even the church life is somewhat hand-to-mouth. And there are those situations, we understand. But and we are not here to just to save up millions of dollars, and you know what I mean, in the church. We're not doing that either. But there's something in the middle, right? Some kind of appropriate, healthy funds or savings or accumulation of finances that will meet certain needs, both to meet regular needs, you know, the lights, the utilities, the supports of full-timers, etc., etc. There's also something that is unexpected, something urgent, something that would be need that comes up from time to time. We need to consider all these things when we take care of money matters. In Irvine, let me come back to Irvine. We have about, let me see, we have 12 elders, and we have two or three brothers who are appointed to be a somewhat of a financial subgroup. And these brothers keep the eye on the finances. So let's say we have a fellowship just on the support of full-timers. You know, every year we review the support of the full-timers, you know, who is still serving, who is not, who's need, who had babies, you know what I mean, all these very practical matters. And we look to these brothers to help us because they know the intake and the expenditure, the, you know what I mean, all these things. And with that kind of knowledge, we have a lot of give and take and fellowship in depth about how to meet the need of the Lord in the next 12 months, you see. The brothers will remind us, well, customarily in these months we are usually lower in giving, and in these months they're higher. And these are very common sense matters that help us to budget, to help us to plan things in a prudent way, okay? So I just, you know, mention these things. Okay, A, we must look ahead, look to the Lord, and pray to the Lord. We should have a budget for the whole year, covering the monthly expenses. The elders should carefully consider how to lead and move forward. It's in your hands, brothers, how to spend the money, how to not overspend, and how to, you know, stick to a budget, and sometimes, as necessary, break the budget, and so on and so forth. Okay, one, when there's a need, we should not assess the situation according to the outward environment, but instead rely on Him. He will care for us. This is the first aspect. Well, I can really testify for Brother Lee. Large amount, small amount, eventually he looks to the Lord. You know, he looks to the Lord. Remember his story about buying a bicycle in Qifu, Beijing. He has no money. And then the Lord asks him, even with whatever he has, to give it away. So he has no money, but he needs this to visit the saints. And so eventually he has to exercise faith. And a few dollars from here, a few dollars from there, unexpectedly, exactly the right amount to buy a new bicycle. So that is a little bicycle. But I don't know how many millions have passed through our brother's hands in the work of the Lord over the last decades for the Lord's recovery. A person who would not have not learned the lesson from buying a bicycle cannot handle millions of dollars. The principle is the same. Okay, that is to... We need to rely on the Lord and on His care. Next, we should never be muddled in our thinking. Neither should we be superstitious or take risks. Now, on the one hand, we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. But some brothers are way too spiritual. That's called superstitious. No planning, no budgeting. They just misspend and misappropriate. that's not right. We need to apply common sense. We need to be on the conservative side of things. We need to just have budgets to work with every year. B, we need to widen our perspective for financial matters of the church and have a long-term budget. We need a budget. Brother, budgeting is very important. To do anything, you need to budget. Budget your strength, budget your time, also budget the finances. The same thing with the church. You know, the problem is most of us don't treat the church as an enterprise. We think this is just some spiritual thing there. No, the church is an spiritual enterprise of God on the earth. And for any enterprise, you need capital. You also need budget, all right? How to carry out the things. One, the responsible brothers in each locality who have a commission related to various aspects of the spiritual work. For example, the gospel on the campuses must be willing to spend time and effort to consider finances and expenses. Two, the brothers should consider needs that will be coming up in the next month or even in the next 2 or 3 months in order to bring them up for discussion at the elders' meeting. Three, without such planning, there will be nothing to bring to the elders' meeting, and then there may be a need for last-minute adjustments that are both inconvenient and inappropriate. These are quite common sense things, but we also still have to learn. All right? C, in the churches of the Lord's Recovery, every penny that is spent must be approved at a meeting of all the elders and then executed. This is a matter of life. Without this, our service will be devoid of life, and it will not be easy to have good results. That means we need all the elders to agree on, to spend the money on something as a principle. D, if at all possible, matters should be decided at the time of the elders' meeting. Furthermore, records should be kept so that matters can be verified later. Brother Lee is an accountant. He's an accountant by profession. So he's a very sharp pencil. And we know that. And he appointed me this is in the 80s to set up accounts for the work. There's a Chinese speaking account, there's a campus account, and somehow I'm with the help of some brothers oversee the accounts. The accounts are still there. So the intake, you know, we put them to buy certain money market or CD or this and that, so on and so forth, how to spend it, how to give it to this church or that church to support full-timers. You know, recently I found out we started a disaster account. We have actually a disaster account. And that disaster account started when we have these disasters in Far East. You know, a few years ago, we have the tsunami. Then we have these earthquake in China. You remember? That's just some years ago. So we started that. And recently, the brothers reported to us, this account has how much money? You know how much money? $230,000. That means not many disasters lately. Or the saints continue to give. Then I said, let's write a check to LSM for the refugee crisis, because that's a disaster. Yes. You know, they're printing all kinds of tracts and a lot of money there. And who is bearing that burden? I said the refugee crisis is a human disaster, so let's write a good amount check from $230,000 to support that work. Anyway, that's just a little story. Okay, where are we? Five. Money matters touch a person the most and test a person's spirituality the most. I tell you, our spirituality, personal spirituality, can be gauged by our attitude towards money and our management of our finances, even of our giving of material riches. Don't think your giving has nothing to do with your spiritual condition. It has everything to do with your spiritual condition. We need to educate the saints in this way. In the elders' meeting, if our proposal is approved, we should not be overly pleased. And if it's not approved, we should not be overly sad. Okay. If we are asked further questions, there's no need to complain in our heart. And if we ask questions of others, we should not have the intention of exposing others. All these thoughts must be rejected. All this in the context of finances. Otherwise, we will not be spiritual. We will not be able to say that we are bearing one testimony as the church. I say again, purity. What is the second word?
Prudence.
Number three, faithfulness. These three things in managing money. Number six, there need to be principles regarding financial expenditure for specific services for each meeting hall. That's in a big church like Taipei. If all the members of a family do things according to their own wishes, there'll be trouble. No matter how things are done, however, if they decide on a principle and doing things according to the principle, matters will be accomplished easily. We need principles. Now, this is the principle B. No money should be spent unless it has been approved at a meeting of the entire eldership. In order for a decision to be made, the proposals must be stated clearly one by one. Furthermore, all the elders must consider carefully, discern clearly, and verify each matter in detail. If there is anything not according to the principle, the matter should be not approved. Everyone must abide properly by this principle so that there will not be any trouble in the future. So, case in point, recently, and we do this regularly, there's a trainee who is short of money for a certain need. I think it's for GTCA gospel trip or something. It's only $650. $650, that's all we're talking about. Because of timing, we need to make a decision. So we circulate email of all the elders. This is just 650, and many of us don't even know who this person is. But there's someone who knows, who are into it, who sponsors the issue, but he will fellowship in a thorough way, even by email because we didn't have time, among all the elders. And one by one, we would approve, we would agree, and then the matter is taken care of. So the money is still something the enemy can use, so we have to be extremely careful in managing it. Now, there's a lot to say about money. We don't have the time, but I think this is good enough. How about we give the brothers a few more minutes, I think, to say something about next year's training. Amen. Thank you.